Okay. Tonight, I'm always debating whether to do the shir on last week's parsha or next week's parsha. So last week we did it on the parsha of the week, the Shabbos of that week, the one we just read. And this week I'm going to do half and half. I'm going to start with a beautiful drash that I found on this week's parsha, also about Yaakov's Tshila, like we did last week. And then we're going to switch to something about this week's parsha, which will, and then later we'll take a vote whether we wanted to go forward a week or back a week. So I'm going to show my desktop, and we're going to get started. And tonight's Midrash is going to be on the Pasuk about the very beginning of Parsha Vayishlach, about why Yaakov sends specifically the list of items, the list of animals that he's sending. We'll read from the beginning of the Parsha quickly. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav Adesav Achiv. He sends Malachim, like we're familiar, and he gives them a command. Here's what you tell my master Esav. Go tell Esav, I've been with Lavan, and I've been late till now. Now, Pasuk Vav, which is highlighted, is what we're going to talk about. Vayihili shor v'chamor tzon deved v'shivcha. I have, in the meantime, shor and chamor and so on. I have a lot of cattle, etc., and maidservants. V'shacha lagid l'adonai d'mshachem b'enecha. I'm going to send them to you to find favor. No, Yaakov is telling Esav that I have a lot, and I'm going to send them to you to find favor. And the Malachim come back and tell Yaakov, no, we came to him, he's also coming to meet you, and instead of having a lot of animals with him, etc., he has a lot of soldiers with him, or at least 400 men with him, and we'll see what that means. Before we see the Parshanim on it, we're going to go back and have a little discussion. I think that's probably chat box works better. What seems to be the simple reason, and then a more deeper reason, why is Yaakov planning to send Esav so many, such a big present? What's simple pshat? And what's maybe even deeper pshat? Anyone want to put a chat answer or speak in? What seems, you can pretty much put any kind of reason you want. Give me different reasons why he would send. Okay, now, but that the simplest is what Tova's saying, to appease him simply, oh, you know, I'm a nice guy, I'm giving you presents. It's like in when you're a little child, it pays to be friends with somebody who, you know, who brings good things to lunch, in their lunch, and shares them with everybody else. So he's bringing a nice present. What other reason might there be, something a little bit deeper? The truth is, what Tova says is, yeah. Okay. The other thing is showing up, I'm just as good as you are, like she's saying. That's also fine. But I brought those the two examples are perfect. If anyone wants to still write something, it's fine. But those two examples are classic because there's a very logical reason for Yaakov sending specifically this list. I want to show you now what the Medrash does, which is simply classic, and how it takes it a higher level. As we saw before, last week, we talked Yaakov's Tshila, that was instead of Yaakov making an edir, if God gives me Lechem Dachol, Beged Labosh, he's not talking about physical things, he's talking about spiritual things. Watch what the Medrash says this week. We're in Medrash Rabbah, or Breshit Rabbah. I think it's Ein Vav. I'm going to go back to my screen now. Where's my desktop? Here we go. I'm going to go down on the page. I have Rashi that we're going to get that Rashi later on. Midrash says this. Actually, we're going to read Rashi first. Sure. Rashi later on, after Yaakov's Tshila, we'll start with that Rashi. Let me get the screen straight. Rashi says as follows, which you're probably familiar with. When Yaakov prepares himself for Lavan, he asks him for three things. Rashi says, Al Korcho, Yaakov got ready, Kinat Mo V'Shoshat Dvarim. The Doron, he prepared in three ways. One the Doron by sending a present, one the Tefillah, and one the Milchama. Doron, because he sends the Mincha, he sends the present, which we'll see soon. The Tefillah, he'll have his Tefillah later in Pasuk Tet. And the Milchama, when he divides up his camp and gets ready for running away. That's it. Like, he prepares for war by preparing an exit or retreat strategy. Now watch how the Medrash takes each of these three, which only come up later on in the Psukim. Remember these three that Rashi's talking about, how he gets ready for Tfilah, and by sending a present, and for Milchama, look how the Medrash already finds him up front. And that's what we're going to discuss now. We're going to go down a little bit. Yeah, right here. Look at the Medrash. What's by he's, everyone, I hope everyone have it. I'm going to get my little marking tool on here. Actually, the marking tool didn't work last week, so I have them underlined. I'll just follow with the cursor. It says, Davar Acher, by Hili Shor V'chamor, Shor Ze Yosef. Okay. When Yaakov's sending a shor, he's not sending an animal. He's sending a shor, he's saying, he's like playing, playing superheroes, or playing, maybe that's the word. When kids are talking and saying, you know, who's got a bigger army? You're coming to fight me, I can fight you back. So, who is Yaakov's army? So Yaakov is a shor. Who is a shor? That's Yosef. Shenemar, b'chor shoro hadar lo. There's different powers that Yaakov has in the future that's going to protect him from Yosef. Yosef is the concept of shor, because Yosef later in Zot HaBracha, in Moshe's blessings, is called a shor. B'chor shoro hadar lo. Chamor, what's chamor? It's a Yisachar. As it says in Yaakov's bracha to Yisachar later on, Yisachar, chamor garem. Uben benosh Yosef omid lechalot et Amalek, shenemar, v'echlosh Yeshu et Amalek, et Amalek t'icharev. So we have a descendant of Yosef, who is going to stand, Yosef, his descendant, is going to come and fight Amalek, who's going to be descendant of Esav. So look in the future, and my offspring, the offspring of my shore, is going to be able to defeat you on the battlefield with Amalek, because Yeshua later on is going to, a descendant of Yosef is going to defeat a descendant of Esav, is going to defeat Amalek. How about in the other arena, in the other Olympics going on here? In the other stadium. Ubanafshi Yisachar, Yodin Makarish Borch, Vasebo Lamo, Shemar Ubni Yisachar, Yodei Bina Leitin, Ledat Mayaseb Yisrael Roshem, what time? He's calling a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, talking about the children of Yisachar. And they know that they know wisdom. The whole idea of Yisachar sitting and learning Torah and Zvulun's doing business is because Zvulun's got the shifts, Zvulun the Chof Yamim Mishkon, and Yisachar from this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Yodei Bina Leitin, they're into wisdom and understanding. So therefore, in saying I'm sending Shor B'chamor, he's not talking about animals, he's talking about his offspring who in the future can take on Esav in any way possible. Now we're going to go to the rest of the list. Okay. V'tzon, what are tzon? Remember, to go back to the pasuk. V'yili Shor B'chamor, tzon ve'eved b'shivcha. What's tzon? Eli Yisrael, shemar v'ten tzoni tzon mariti adamatem. Pasuk in Yecheskel. And what's Eved? Eved is David. Shemar, Ani Abdecha ben Avatecha. There's no shortage of psukim calling David an Eved. But we just picked one from Tehillim. And V'shivcha is Abigail. Shemar, Hinei Amatecha V'shivcha. Amatecha V'shivcha. So, all these different people who in their Zchut were going to be able to defeat Edom. So now the Medrash is going to summarize as follows. At that time when Yaakov was sending and telling the Shluchim to tell him Vahidi Shor B'chamor, etc., what were they telling him? Ru imo giburim mizuyanim, and they saw Esav also had a lot of soldiers. Ubov amru Yaakov, Shemar v'yashu ba'malachim Yaakov lemor v'anu l'chicha d'Esav v'gamo l'chit v'shcha v'arbamot ishimo. Just like we're going to him with our army, he's coming to us with his army. And where are the 400 men? Rabbi Shmuel says, 400 kings. Ish is not just a person. Ish is kings, like big shots, and each one has his army. Or Vieshamim Abramiot Afarchin, that's like, leaders, city like councilmen, all those important people. Rabbani Abramot Roshe Gaisot Ayumo, 400 officers or head of armies, which means he has even a bigger army than 400 men. Kivan Shamrulo Yaakov, Kol Togdula. As soon as they told Esav, Kibat Shamrulo, to Esav, the Yaakov, Kol Togdula, Ayamitra, when the Shluchim told Yaakov, look how many people are coming on Esav's side, Yaakov got scared. And therefore, that's how Yaakov prepares himself the first time that's how Yaakov gets scared. Yaakov thought he had a big team on his side, and he says Esav has a big team as well. Now watch his Tzuda. So that was his Doron, his present. Now we're going to get to his Tfilah. אם יבוא עשיו במחנה אחד ויקהו, באותו שאמרו אבינו יעקב...
Okay, is this better? Can you hear me better now? Much better. Okay. Anyways, I tried calling up Menachem on his New York line, but I didn't get through. I imagine he'll be back in a minute or two if you want to be patient. Like I mentioned earlier, this has not happened for a long, long time, but we can't control all the technological difficulties. So bear with us. You can get a cup of coffee in the meantime. Okay. He's... Okay, we just spoke to Menachem, and he's on his way back online. Apparently, I'm getting a message here that he didn't even realize that he was, like, kicked off. I guess he's really into Torah. Boy. Okay, oh, there you are. Okay, Menachem, you can speak.
Okay, sorry about that. I had no idea I wasn't online. I've been talking with the other screen on, and they didn't realize I got cut off. So tell me how far I got up to. Just Yaakov's just in the beginning? We missed the whole Medrash?
No, not the whole Medrash.
I'll go over what we saw so far. And then I better, something must have went wrong when I changed screens. So I'll just explain, I won't use the screen for a while and make sure everything's working okay again. Sorry about that. I was wondering why no one was answering my questions. Didn't hear any comment. I gave up on people participating. Sorry about that. Yaakov's Medrash is as follows. Yaakov sends a tefillah. Yaakov sends a present. It says, "Vayhili shor b'chamor tzomtad v'shivcha." I'm sending all these presents. What's the meaning of each one? He says, "Shor is Yosef." We get that far?
Yes, yes. Shor being Yosef. You went through that whole section. You did.
Okay. Now the last one we did was Revach Tassimu ben Eder ve'Eder. What's his thing? Why is Yaakov saying put a little space from one to the next? So he says as follows. What's his face? So I'm going to just read. In the meantime, technical support can put me on. Give me a window back. Hopefully, it should work again. But the Medrash says as follows: V'revach tasimu ben eder ben eder. He says, "Amr Yaakov says, 'Nakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shlom, im yutzarot ba'ot abanai, lo tavi otam zu achar zu. If I'm going to have tzarot, don't make them one after the other so fast. Ela harvach lemitzarotim. Give us a little rest between tzarot, from one trouble to another trouble." Ben Votoshan asa Yaakov etenav at Esav shubam merachok v'tala enav lamrom. He saw Yaakov coming. Yaakov saw Esav coming. V'chav b'keish rachamim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shama tfilato. V'ivtichu shemoshe b'kol tzaratav v'zchuto she Yaakov shemar yadcha shem yom tzara yitzegev chashem el Yaakov. The pasuk we say every day between, we say every day in the Vol Tzion, yitzegev chashem Elohei Yaakov, the Midah of Yaakov, the God who saved Yaakov from Esav, is the one we ask him to save us from our sorrow. And here is almost a minimal tefillah. We're not saying God save us forever from everything, but at least give us a couple years in between, or some time to breathe between from one tzara to the next. So this Revach Tassimu ben Eder ve'Eder, the Medrash says it is, give us some time in our tzarot to rest from one. Don't give us all of our punishments one after the other. Give us some time to rest in between. So my thought, and that Medrash was simply a nice, beautiful way of how we take a very simple tefillah, a very simple action by Yaakov, sending some animals, which everyone thinks, just giving the guy a present and just being nice, and every item that Yaakov's sending, and every action that Yaakov's taking, the Midrash is looking to the future, the future in Chumash, like Raz in the Chumash. I don't know if you saw the one where he says, "Ema banim, ben yirov yikani ema banim." He said the Torah that says later on, how could the Torah say that, and then you allow Esav to go and kill my wife and my children on the same day? So again, he projects to the future, both in future Jewish history, future Pesukim and Chumash, and plays it back on the story. Anyway, that was a little Medrash on Vayishlach, and now we want to do the main topic I want to do today, which presents us for next week. Any questions on the Drash? Someone has both a microphone. Yeah, Harvey's got either. Where's Harvey? Okay, that's good. Okay, the presenter's back on. Okay, great. Okay, now we're going to talk about next week a little bit, which is, I hope you're familiar with the basics of the shir. We'll take a little vote. Who's familiar with the shir about who sold Yosef? You know, whether the brothers sold him or whether the brothers didn't sell him. Let me ask this way. I'll let you guys say with the chat box now. If someone asked you who sold Yosef, what would you answer? Just real quickly. Don't be afraid. Okay, so Tova knows this year, the beginning. What would most people say? Okay, the brothers, here we go. Okay. So the majority of Am Yisrael, like we see on our screen already, if you ask them who sold Yosef, everyone knows the brothers sold Yosef. And I want to begin with a beautiful medrash, a sad medrash, which you're all familiar with from davening on Yom Kippur. Who remembers the piyut on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur at Musaf, where we talk about the 10 martyrs who were killed at Kiddush Hashem? I'm sure we're all familiar. Okay. Who can tell me how it begins? Just remember how it begins, just real briefly. How does that medrash begin? Remember? So the palace full of shuls, I'll talk, that's a pasuk in Amos, which is Haftarah for next week, which is very confusing to people sometimes. Hopefully we'll get to that. The pasuk that Zev is talking about, okay, that's right. First I'll talk about Tzvi's answer. Tzvi says that the reason why the 10 martyrs were killed was because the 10 brothers sold Yosef, so 10 for 10, number one. And a sin that happened, that God, for some reason, forgot to punish the brothers way back a couple thousand years earlier. Now God's, oh my gosh, I forgot, and now I have to punish them now. Now, at first glance, does that sound like there was absolutely nothing wrong during that time period, and we're simply being punished for a previous generation? Who can explain why that can't be? According to what pasuk in Chumash can't that be in Pshat? That God would punish a generation 2,000 years later for a sin done 2,000 earlier by the brothers? Why doesn't that make sense? Simply either logic or a pasuk. Okay, that's how I wanted to bring together from this week's parsha. God doesn't want that in a general sense, but also ish bechato yumad. It doesn't make sense that would happen. Now, I want to bring that example of a medrash. I think that piyut is a medrash. And what that medrash is telling us, I think, is exactly opposite of what it sounds like it's saying. And I hope what I'm saying is correct. I hope I'm interpreting the medrash correctly. But the medrash tells a story about how God's sitting up in his throne above and saying, oh my gosh, I forgot 2,000 years ago, we forgot to punish these guys, so let's pick on these big tzaddikim to punish them instead. So there's a sense of there that tzaddikim are caught, are punished for things that they didn't do wrong. And that for sure is an important concept. Tzaddikim nitpasim bavon hador. Sometimes tzaddikim are punished for the generations of their, from the sin of the generation. But again, the sins of their own generation, because maybe as leaders they might have a sense of responsibility for what's going wrong in society, but why would they be responsible for what happened 2,000 years earlier in the story in Chumash? I think the Medrash is pointing to something much deeper. It has to do with why we study Chumash and why we study Medrash. That's why I wanted to pick this topic tonight, because I think it's very important. When we study Chumash, are we studying history to know what happened? Or are we studying a set of stories? They're being punished because they learned from past mistakes. They're not learning Chumash properly. Meaning, if there's a story about Yosef and his brothers in Chumash, I don't think the main goal of Chumash is for us to study the story and find out, really, they did nothing, everyone's fine. I think we're supposed to learn, like I've talked about many times, we're not chosen because we're better, we're chosen to be better. And if you notice in Chumash, follow the story of the Avot, almost every single story is problematic. You're not going to find your classic, making of a Godel story about our forefathers in Chumash. Almost even the good ones have some problematic things in them, and most of them are very problematic. And let me give you one perfect example. In this week's Parsha, I think the pasuk that should have been the most powerful and should have been a whole parak was when it says Yaakov, Vayavo Yaakov El Esav Aviv to Hebron. It says Yaakov returns to Yosef, his father, to Hebron, the city where Yitzhak and Avram lived as well. Now, you'd expect that return after over 20 years of being away from home, coming back, imagine that. 20 years being away from home, being sent away from home, not knowing what's going to happen with him. After that, all that emotion with the brachot. Coming back with all the children and all the wives. It should be such an amazing story. And how much time does Chumash give to that pasuk? To that story? One pasuk. You can imagine what must have happened. Chumash is not a biography and not a history book. If it was, that story should be detailed. Instead, it's a story about events that happened to the Avot, the ones that we can learn from, the ones that we're supposed to learn Musar from. And what Chumash wants us to do is, we tell stories which are problematic about the Avot, not to tell us necessarily how bad they were, but to learn from those stories, how they grew from those stories, how they learned from their mistakes. Yosef and the brothers in Yosef is a story of tshuva afterwards. All the events, all the efforts that Yosef does to bring his brothers back together, to help them do tshuva. How the brothers slowly recognize their mistake. It's a story about a process of tshuva, about working together and learning from our mistakes. And if during the time of the 10 martyrs, we know in Beit Sheni and during the Bar Kokhba revolt, if we find terrible things happening and so many people dying, I may ask them, what are we doing wrong? And you just can't blame it on the Romans. The Romans, if you follow Nevi'im, God always saying, if it's Ashur, Bavel, there it says, Hoyashur, Shevet Api, and Nebuchadnezzar, Avdi. God always says, I'm only using Ashur as my whip to punish you. But it's for your mistakes. I'm allowing them to be successful against you because of what you've been doing wrong. The same thing Yirmiyahu was saying about Bavel coming in and punishing us. And therefore, if something happens to Tam Yisrael, sure, we have to protect ourselves. But if we're trying to ask us what's wrong, we have to learn from our heritage something we might have done wrong. Now, we know Chazal say, why was the Second Temple destroyed? Because of Sinat Achim. And the same thing, the Berna Bar Kokhba, why would so many Tamidim of Rabbi Akiva die? Because they didn't honor one another. And that message of Sinat Achim, and that message of Kavod for one another, for honoring one another, and learning to work together, that is supposed to be the message you're supposed to learn from the story of Yosef and his brothers. We're not supposed to learn from that story if you have a brethren with an Am Yisrael, another Shevet, another opinion, you have to spend all your time plotting how I'm going to kill this guy, but rather, you have to learn how we're going to work together. And when Chazal go and say that generation is being punished for what happened 2,000 years earlier, I don't think they're saying they're being punished for an event that happened 2,000 years earlier. They're being punished for not learning and applying the study of Chumash properly. That's my humble opinion. Again, I'm sure other opinions are legitimate. But therefore, I want to take the story of Yosef and his brothers and spend the last 10 minutes, sort of as a promo. We'll just continue to discuss it next week a little bit as we go through the story of Yosef being sold in Vayishlach Hamikates, and simply to explain that even though it could be, if you read the Pesukim carefully, it could very well be that the brothers didn't sell Yosef. On the other hand, Chumash definitely gives you the impression they did sell Yosef. Next week, maybe we'll talk about the Haftorah a little more also. Maybe at the end, make sure before I leave, before I end, I want to show you the proof that Haftorah isn't talking about Yosef. Al Mikram Ketzer Tzadik is not talking about Yosef, it's talking about the generation of Hamas. So I'm going to go back to my desktop, and I want to show you a map. Okay? We're going to start, and I'm going to show you something which I think is cute. I'm going to go down to the map on the bottom. We'll get to Pesukim in a minute. Okay. We're going to take a minute. I hope Jay, tell me if you see the map okay, or when it comes up clear. Did I lose contact again?
It's clear. The map is cool, map.
It's clear. Okay, we're still on? Okay, so let me get back on. Okay, I thought I lost you again. Just Jay, do me a favor to make sure I don't lose it again. Every, 2-3 minutes, just say we're still on. So I know I didn't lose you. If you look on the map, you'll see a 3D shot of Israel. And I want to show you what happened. Yaakov and his family is living in Hebron. It says Chevron there, but it means Hebron. And there's this whole long highway, Highway 60, from Hebron to Yerushalayim, to Shechem, where Yaakov thinks they're washing the sheep, all the way to Dothan. Dothan is the area of Jenin today. And Yosef's brothers are watching the sheep in Shechem. Now, I want to explain a little geography using the map, and then will apply to the story in the 10 minutes we have left. What's Yaakov want? Yaakov wants to know what's happening with the sons. Now, it's got to be clear from this map that the brothers don't come home every day. It's a good 2-3-4 day walk from Hebron to the Arishem, and even another day all the way to Dothan. But for the family, he probably comes home at best once a month. And that's why Yaakov wants to know what's happening. He sends Yosef on this long journey to find them, and he finds them in Dothan. Now, when they're in Dothan, as soon as they see him, they want to kill him, remember? And then, first they say, let's kill him and throw him in a pit. And then Reuben says, in an attempt to save him, Reuben says, I'm going to throw him, if you look in your Chumash later on, you can see it. I'm going to show you the Pesukim in a minute. Reuben says, you know, let's not kill him first degree murder. Reuben's official plan is let's not kill him first degree. If we have time, we'll see the Medrash on it. Instead, let's kill him, let him die on his own, what we call through Grumma. Let's throw him in a pit, and he'll die in a pit by himself. So therefore, Reuben says, Nashichoto babor hazeh asher bamidbar. And if it's in a specific bor in the desert, and we won't kill him with our hands. We'll see the psukim in a minute. I simply want you to look on the map, while the map is still up. Where is there a desert near Dothan? If I look at Shechem and Dothan, the area there, where do you see a midbar? When we think of midbar, we think of, you know, the Sinai Desert, etc. There's no desert near there. Now, the word midbar in Hebrew really means a wilderness. And there's a big midbar. If you follow the mountain range between Jerusalem, between Yerushalayim and Shechem and Dothan, the whole area on the map would be up, but what's called the Jordan River Valley. You see the Jordan River going down. That's called Bikat HaYarden. We're still on?
We're on, although on my screen, I don't see any map. I don't know about other people, but I don't see any map on my screen. Just see the regular, you know, the regular screen you have before.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got to get the map back on. Okay, so I'm sorry about that. You should have told me that before. I'm sorry about that. I've been talking about the map the whole time. okay, now you should see the map. Sorry about that.
Not now, quite. We should. I don't see it, but we should. Hold on. Now I see it. Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, you gotta tell me all these things.
It couldn't be four because you have the hourglass going back and forth, and there is no way to transmit.
The mode today.
But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So now we have. Now we have back on the
boardroom.
Yes. Sees the map. So again, from Hebron to Yerushalayim to Shechem to Dothan is a 2-3 day walk. I see that on the map clearly. And there's no way that the brothers come home every night. And therefore, Yaakov is sending Yosef to see what's happening. It'll take a while until he gets back. Now, with this map, you can understand the whole story. Reuven says, let's throw him in a pit that's in the desert. The Midbar is in the desert, it's a wilderness. And the entire area of the Jordan Valley, which is to the east of this mountain range, is called a Midbar. Here it's called Midbar Yehuda, to the area between Jerusalem and Shechem, the area is called Midbar Yehuda. And later it's called probably Midbar, the Midbar of Har Ephraim, the area of the Geboa. Right north of Dothan is the area of the Geboa, which is also a type of a Midbar. But in general, along Highway 60, along the top of the mountain range, 2-3 kilometers to the east is always going to be a midbar. Anyone who's been in Yerushalayim looks from, for example, from Har Sofim and looks to the east, to Erid Ma'alot Adumim, and you see a midbar. And therefore, they're watching the sheep in the area of Dothan, but 2-3 kilometers away is a midbar, which is a less traveled area. You can graze your sheep there. And Reuben says, I know a perfect pit where if we throw him in, he won't die right away, but he'll die within a day or two because the boar is empty. There's no water in there. And therefore, there's not water for the survivor to drink in. And there's no water he will drown in right away. But rather, it's an empty pit. He'll suffer there for a day or two. He'll die out of starvation. And we won't be... No. After the brothers... We're going to see the Pesukim in a minute. I'm just going to show you everything on the map. After the brothers throw him in the pit, and they follow Reuven's plan, Reuven's official plan, which they think he's going to die in the pit, they sit down to eat. And then it says... Then it says, they lift up their eyes, and what do they see? A caravan of Yishmaelites is coming down from the Gilad. Now you see the Gilad mountains? on the other side. If you've been in the Gilboa, which is right next to Dodan, you can beautifully see the Gilad Mountains on a clear day, right in front of you. And the red line is the ancient highway that would go down from the Gilad and go through Emek Yisrael, pass through Megiddo. That's the ancient caravan route. Caravans with camels, etc., and trades don't go through the mountain range. Instead, they go through the plain, through Emek Yisrael. So therefore, they go through Emek Beit Shan, which is below the Kinneret, below the Gilad, which is right below the Gilboa today. They would go through Emek Yisrael, basically past the city of Afula, then past Megiddo, past what's called Vadi Ara, and with the ancient, that's why Megiddo is so important, and then down the coastal plain, down to Egypt. But they would not pass through Dothan. That's not the ancient highway. Dothan is a big mountain range. You don't bring camels up the mountain range that way. You don't bring a caravan that way. Therefore, when the brother sees this caravan coming, what do you just say? What do we mean by killing him and letting him die and having that on our conscience? Okay. Let's go sell him to the Ishmaelim, to the caravan, means what were the brothers planning on doing? What was Yehuda's plan? Let's go back to the pit, take Yosef out, and bring him down, and maybe a half-hour walk, to this convoy, and sell him there. And to do that plan, they would simply have to leave where they're eating, and then go back to the pit and get him, and then bring him to the convoy. Now the question simply is, to explain the whole story, when the brothers sit down to eat, after they throw Yosef in the pit, are they sitting by the pit or away from the pit? We're going to go now read the story and check both possibilities, and then we'll see them in the Parshanim. And then we'll finish up first. Sure. I'm going to show you the Pesukim now. It should take about 2-3 seconds till they come up. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger so we'll see better. We'll put it at 150. Okay. I'm going to read the story, and yeah, you guys still hear me? I want to make sure.
I hear you. I see the Pesukim.
Okay. Okay, perfect. So let's start. Patek Yitzchet, they see him from a distance, and before he comes, they want to kill him. Okay. Now, they say to one another, here comes Bala Chalamot, and let's look at plan one. Patek Haf. Vatalechu v'nargeu, v'nashlichu b'chad ha-borot, v'amanu chayru ha-chalatu, v'nir ma'yum chalamotav. The first plan of the brothers, let's throw him in a pit. Let's kill him, first degree, and then throw him in a pit. Ruvain hears this. V'yishma Ruvain v'atzelim yadam. That's Chumash telling the reader. And he says, let's not kill him first degree, lo nakim nefesh. Instead, Reuven says, al tish b'chudam, means don't kill him first degree. I'll show you that in the Rashbam in a minute. Let's throw him in one of the, in hashlich oto al abor hazeh asher b'midbar. Let's throw him in the pit, this specific pit in the desert, and let's not kill him ourselves. And then Chumash tells us, in order to save him, to return him to his father. Reuven doesn't tell that to his brothers, but that's what he thinks to himself. Therefore, what's Reuven's plan? Within 24, 36 hours or so, he's going to go back and get his brother. Then, when Yosef comes in Pasach HaVgimel, they take off his coat that they put on him, and then they throw him into the pit, Pasach HaVdalad, and the pit's empty, and there's no water. Now we're going to pick up from Pasach HaVeh. Vayishvu lechol lachem, they sit down to eat, and then vayisu nehem vayirut v'nei orchat yishmelim ba migilad, ugmalem nosim lechot tzui v'lot hochim lorid mitzvama. So if you remember the map I showed you, there's no way that they're going through the Midbar, by Dothan, this caravan. Instead, the brothers would have to go and get Yosef back from the pit and sell him to the caravan. Therefore, Yehuda says, Pasach Chavav. Let me use Alachav. Na beti ki narog et achenu v'chisinu edamo, v'chu v'nim krenu le'ishmelim v'yadeinu atyevo, ki achenu b'sarenu hu v'yishmu achav. Let's sell him, and the brothers listen. Now, the screen's going to go down a little bit, and we're going to look in Pasuk Chaschet, and hopefully it'll all be on the same screen now. Now what happens? There's two possibilities when they sit down to eat. The brothers can be sitting down to eat next to the pit, or they can be sitting away from the pit. Actually, let's have a little discussion. I'm going to turn off the screen for a second, and we're going to go back to our... we have to close it. I'm sorry. Who can explain what makes more sense? Are the brothers sitting by, you can use the chat box or your microphone. What would make sense for them to sit down to eat? By the pit or away from the pit? Okay. Why away from the pit? Just logically, that would be, if the pit's in the desert and their camp is in Dothan in the mountain range. Remember, the area of Dothan is it weathers like Yerushalayim on the mountain range. Emek Dotan is Jenin, is the normal city, and the Midbar is like the area of Male Dumim. What would be the reason for them sitting away from the pit? There's lots of reasons, but... Okay, you wouldn't want to... It's a lousy appetite, you know, sitting down to eat, hearing your brother crying, and we know later from Chodesh he was crying. Okay. They don't want to hear us cry, exactly. Okay, that's for sure. So, I want to add one other reason. Okay. There's a lot of shade. When you sit down to eat, you want shade, you want quiet, you want water and things like that. And you'll find that in Dotan. You won't find that in the Midbar. And that's where their camp is. Their camp is in Dotan. And that's where that's where the sheep is. They weren't in the Midbar. They said, let's put them in the pit in the Midbar. And therefore they put them in the pit and they probably came back to their campsite to eat where their food is. And at this time you want to hear Yosef. But the idea is to leave them there. They're not going to sit and wait for 2 days there until he dies. They put him in the pit and forgot about him. And that was all that had to be it, because what was Reuben's plan was to go back and get him later on. I'll prove it to you in a minute in the Psukim. Now, based on this, when they sit down to eat, if they're eating away from the pit, should Reuben be with them or should Reuben be somewhere else? What would make sense? According to Reuben's plan, if the brothers are sitting far away from the pit, would it make sense for Reuben to eat with them or Reuben not to eat with them? Yes, logically speaking, what would make sense? Okay. Reuven should go to rescue while they're busy. But in the meantime, Reuven is definitely not in the pit when Yosef is sold. So Reuven didn't do that. So Reuven wouldn't go away right away. That might blow his cover. It would make sense he'd be eating with them. Now we're going to check that out where he is in a minute. So now watch what happens. We're going to go back to the Pesukim and see what happens, what Reuven does. And this is what's cute. We're going to get to back to my desktop. And I want to load the highlighter this time. The screen will be on in 1 second. And we're now going to see our screen come up. Okay, now you should see this. Tell me if you see the... Jay, tell me when the screen comes up. Jay, you on?
Yeah, I'm on, but it's not up. It's some weird thing on the screen. Now it's up.
Tell me, it should be up in about like 3-4 seconds.
I don't know if I'm indicative of everybody else, but on my screen
now
it's
up. Now look at Pesach. No, it's the same. Everyone sees the same screen. If you look at the Pesach now, we're in Pesach Chavchet. It says, what happened? The brothers sat down to eat, and they saw, and they listened. Then it says, this is a different group of people. This can't be the Ishmaelim. What are Socharim? Socharim are merchants. What happened? A group of Midianite merchants. Right? They passed by. Midianim were merchants, or they're local, more local people. They're also coming to sell their wares and goods to this convoy of Ishmaelim. And what they do, they sell their wares to them. The Ishmaelim bring it, like it's UPS or FedEx. They bring it down to Egypt and sell the goods there. And they have a lot of goods. So it just so happened that a group of Anashim Yidanim Sakharim passed by. And then by Shechu, if I follow the Pasuk, the syntax of the Pasuk, who's pulling up Yosef in the pit? By Shechu Be'elut Yosef in Abor. Who's doing that? If I follow the Pasuk, it's the Midianim. And what did they do? The Midianim came by and Kruet Yosef La Ishmaelim. They told Yosef to the Ishmaelim, that's in Kesef. They viewed Yosef Mitzrayma. And the Ishmaelim brought him to Egypt. Meaning, if the brothers eating away from the pit, as they're talking about selling him, it just so happens that another group of people, the Midianim, passed by. They heard Yosef crying. They pulled Yosef out of the pit. And they sold Yosef to the Ishmaelim for 20 Kesef. Now, if that's true, the brothers never sold Yosef. Now, to prove it, look at the next pasuk. If the brother's eating away from the pit, and Reuven's with him, like he should be, okay, what should Reuven do as soon as the brothers decide to sell him? Let me close the screen one more time, because we have to have one last discussion to prove our point. We're going to close. Okay. Okay. If Reuven's eating with him, what could Reuven do? And the brothers decide we're going to sell him, but Reuven wants to save him. What should Reuven volunteer to do? Wouldn't want to give it a try? What would be the logical thing for Reuven to do? Okay. He should volunteer to be the first one to go to the pit to get Yosef. He would tell his brothers, I'm going maybe to, going to get him to sell him, or, but he's got to get there first, for sure. Before anyone gets there, Reuven should be the first one to the pit. So we're going to see that in the Pesukim in a minute. I want to show you that Reuven's the first to the pit. We always have the impression he's the last one at the pit. But in the next two Pesukim, we're going to prove he's the first one at the pit. Now we're going to go back to our desktop, hopefully for the last time here. Should be up now. In a minute. Okay. If you look at Pasuk Chavtet, we should be back up now. Look at Pasuk Chavtet. Are we up, Jay?
Hello.
Let me know when the Pesukim are up. Not yet?
We're up.
Okay, good. Now we know how much time it takes. Okay. It says, Vayashov Reuven el Habor. Let me clear the thing. It says, Vayashov Reuven el Habor. Reuven returned to the pit. From where? From where the brothers were eating. V'nein Yosef Habor. Vayikrat v'kadav. Reuven is the first one to the pit. And realizes he's not there. And then, Vayashov el Echav. He returns to his brothers. V'yomer ha'yelad einenu. V'ani ani ani ba. The kid's missing. Now the brothers don't tell him we killed him, we sold him. They don't say anything. They don't know either. And then they take the Donet Yosef and they do the trick to trick the father. That's a different thing. By the way, the word Hakerna, find a little crash in this week's parsha. We had the first Hakerna, actually back to Vayetze. Hakerna, when he was showing his different things to Lavan, you know, to show, see if you find the trafim, how with the trafim. The first Hakerna is when Yaakov tells, didn't take anything from you. When Rachel took the trafim, and we have the same Hakerna, we know we have the one later on by Yehuda, but there's three Hakernas. One by the trafim and Lavan, one here, with Yosef and his brothers, and one later with Yehuda, which all relate to Yaakov's life. But back to our topic, Reuven is the first one to the pit, and the brothers have no idea what happened to him. And that's what makes, if you follow the geography here on the map, that explains what's happening with the brothers and what's happening with the, that even though the brothers might have planned to sell him, they never really killed him, never, and they're totally confused because they have no idea what happened to him. Now, had he gone home, they'd find out about it really soon. And if he doesn't get home, that means he assumes he's gone. And therefore, they send to their father, we'll say therefore what they do, in Pasuk Lamed Bet by Shachu, after they dip the coat in blood, they send the coat to the father, and they bring it to the, they don't bring it to the father. It's sent by someone else to the father, to trick the father, so the father thinks it was his fault. He says, Zot Matzano, the brothers don't say, Hakerna Hakton Ibn Chahi, in law. It's someone they send, some messenger they send, and they tell them, go show this in Hebron, go door to door, and when you get to Yaakov, ask him if he recognizes this, and then Yaakov recognizes, and he takes the blame. He says, oh, no, I sent him, he must have eaten by a wild animal, and the brothers sort of play stupid. Now I want to show you this in the Parshanim, and see how beautiful the Parshanim are here. We're going to go back to the Parshanim, and right up top here. We're going to follow the Rashbam in the Sugya. Here's the Rashbam on, we'll take the Rashbam from Pasuk Chavtet. He says, Hashlich oto al habor, the Rashbam should be coming up in a second. Rashbam says, send him to the pit. It says, Mokom she'im b'nei adam mitzuyin sham v'yamut ne'ilav. Remember we said that it's going to be second degree murder? And send him in the pit, let him die on his own. And what's Levan Hatzil oto? Hapasuk made al Reuven ki Hatzilu nitkaven. Right? The Pasuk is telling us about Reuven, the Reuven planned to save him, but that's not Reuven telling his brothers. Okay. We're going to skip the Pasuk about the Ktonet. And we're going to skip to Ein Bo Mayim, Pasuk Havdalad, Pasuk Vavork Ein Bo Mayim. Shim Ayah Bo Mayim Lo Yuma Shlechim Otot Hashem, because he wouldn't, either because they wouldn't. Shim Keno Yuma Dvim Otot, Mam Mitin Otot, Yadam. Vem Ruv Yadat Yishukhu Bo, Vedin Atiye Bo, Vigrum Bo Mita. He says, if Ein Bo Mayim means to show you that he wouldn't die right away by drowning. That's one way of understanding it. It was to show that Baborik Ein Bo Mayim, that he wouldn't die right away, so it wouldn't be first-degree murder. The other way of understanding it is, Ein Bo Mayim means he can't survive there for more than a day or two, and he'll die from a lack of water. Now, then we get to our pasuk. Vayivru anashim midyanim. Okay. Uvetoch sheyu yoshvim lachol lachem, urchokim ayu. See what Rashbam says? While they're sitting down to eat, they're sitting down to eat, uvetoch sheyu yoshvim lachol lachem, urchokim ayu ksat min abor. They were far away from the pit. Levyoti achol adam. Now, you said the reason why is they want to hear him screaming. But hear what they say? Look what Rashbam says. Levyoti achol adam. Where's that from? Remember, lo tuchal adam is a pasuk in Chumash, not to eat. What that means is a whole thing, but the idea is lo tuchal adam, don't kill somebody, or cut them to die and eat at the same time. Lamtini hayu li shmelim, shuru, and then they're waiting for the shmelim to come, you know, nearby, to go and sell it to him. And then he says, v'kodem shabo hayu shmelim, before the shmelim got there, or actually it should be before they got to the shmelim, avru anashim b'yanim, acherim, other people came. The Midianim came in the same area. They saw Yosef in the pit. Okay. They took Yosef out of the pit, and they sold, the Midianim sold Yosef to the Shmelim. And now we'll see about the brothers. Okay. They'll come up in a second. Okay. V'yesh lomar, shachim lo yadu. The brothers, should be up in a second now. The brothers had no idea of what happened to Yosef. It says later on when Yosef was sold, it says, Yosef says, "Ani Yosef achichem asher machartem otim mitzrayma, avol pi shekatuv asher machartem otim mitzrayma by Yosef, yishomar shegramta masim, sorry, shegramat masim, siyab b'mkhiroto. You caused, your actions caused me to be sold. V'zen yirad l'zifi omek derech p'shuto shemikra." It says, when you look at the psukim carefully, that seems to be omek. It seems like by chance it happened, and they sold him to Ishmaelim. And then he goes on with the other possibility. Chizkuni says something very, very similar. And also the last thing, by Shahu, Aidei Bnei Adam. They didn't bring it themselves, but they sent it to their father. By Shahu Bnei Adam. So they agiru miyashuk. So all the things we talked about, we see in the Rashbam. I'm going to go close my screen now, and hopefully the map that you have, you can print out later on, will help you appreciate what we did. So let me conclude with, let's close that up. Okay. Let me conclude with what we saw. I want to show you the Medrash, which on the one hand, in the beginning, I'm sorry, I want to begin with, we saw the Rashbam and Pshat in the story, where it could very well be that the brothers never sold Yosef, and I simply wanted to bring a little geography, knowing the country, to prove that point, show that point, how strong that point is. And then the question is, why does Chumash give us the impression that the brothers, I mean, almost all the other Parshanim name, and everyone grew up with the story that the brothers sold them? And the book, we're going to end with the Pasuk and Amos in a second, from the Haftarah. Hopefully you have the Tanakh open up to Amos in the meantime. But Chumash gives us the impression that the brothers did it. Because the Chumash, on the one hand, is giving you this double message. Bottom line is the brothers really didn't sell Yosef. But Chumash gives you the impression that they did sell Yosef because they were planning on it, they would have, and it's almost their fault that we're talking about it. They led to it. And therefore we want to, and we're supposed to learn from that, how you can have terrible, you can think about doing things and actually happening, even though it happens to somebody else, you have to take responsibility. But still, if we're studying the story of Yosef, we have to learn about the danger of Sinat Achim and the importance of Avat Achim. Now, if we look in Amos, Perek Bet, which is Haftarah, from next week, it's in Trey Asar, it says, Amichram Beketzav Tzadik, Ve'edona B'vurn Alayim, people think it's talking about, say, Al Shoshah Pishei Yisrav Abayit Lo Yishivena, Amichram is being punished for the sins of selling a poor person for the price of shoes. People think that Am Yisrael is being punished in the time of Amos for what happened about 1,500 years earlier in the time of Yosef. Let me show you what that can be. If you look later on in Amos, in Perechet, I'll read slowly. In Perechet, in Amos, Pasuk Perchet Pasuk Dalet says Shimu Zot Hashofim Evyon Lashbit Ani Aretz. He's yelling at the people who are trying to do everything to take advantage of the poor and to take money from the poor people of the land. Lemur Matay Yavor Achodesh Veneshbir Shever. We can't wait for Yom Tov to be over, for Rosh Chodesh to be over, they can't wait for Shabbat to be over. I thought it was nice for Midnight Midrash. They can't wait for Shabbat to be over to open up their businesses. But what do they want to do with their businesses? Instead of learning Torah on the Seder Shabbat, they're just waiting to open up the marketplace, which isn't so bad, but what do they want to do in the marketplace? They open the market so they can cheat, they can, you know, make, change their measures, and cheat people, and make these margin profits, and use scales which aren't even. I mean, they're planning all the time how are we going to take advantage of the poor people in the marketplace. Okay. So it's clear, the opening psukim of Amos, it's not talking about 2,000 years back. It's talking about their own time period, the time period of Amos himself. That's what they're doing in his own time period, and that's why God's going to bring Ashur to punish them. And that's exactly the point I'm trying to show, that when we study Chumash, Amos is saying the same thing. Amos is writing in a lashon that sounds like reminds him of Sefer Bereshit, reminds him, it hints to the brothers. But they themselves are doing it. And that's the beauty and the depth of Midrash. We see the Midrash in the Piyut and Yom Kippur. We see the Midrash in Amos himself. The Navim are telling us, and the Midrashim are telling us, learn from the stories of our forefathers. When you're learning Sefer Bereshit, there's nothing wrong with learning something negative about what happened, not to say, oh, they're lousy people, we can be lousy. Adarava. They might have been very good people. Chumash is pointing out all the problems that they had, and we learn how they learned Tshuva from there, and our goal is to learn those stories, and learn them so we can learn from their mistakes, and learn how they did Tshuva, and we have to take that as a model to learn from, and not to think, oh, they were great, therefore, we're chosen on the laurels. They're chosen to be great, and learn from their actions, and learn to improve. And that's what the stories in Sefer Bereshit are about. Okay, we're over time because we lost our 10 minutes on our downcast. But hopefully next week we'll continue with maybe a shorter midrash next time. And you'll tell me whether you want to go ahead a week or back a week. We'll decide.
Shabbat Shalom. Hanukkah. You'll have to measure some Hanukkah.
Okay, next week will be Shana Hanukkah. Okay, that's good.